Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 is my text this morning. And my message is entitled, What in the World Do We Have in Common? And as I thought about them and where they're at, they're clear on the other side of the world. They're in India. Has anybody ever been to India? No. Has anybody ever been to Vietnam or Cambodia? No, neither have I. You guys live in a totally different world than we do. I'm new to this church. I'm getting to know the congregation here. I got a different background than these folks here. My wife's from Minneapolis, and I'm from Northern Iowa. But I was glad to hear, Doug, that you're from Iowa, and you went to Moody.
Yeah.
And I graduated with a graduate degree from Moody in 1995. So we got something in common there. That's great. But yeah, what in the world do we have in common with these folks and the people that they talked about? The people in India, the people in Cambodia, what in the world have we got in common with them? What do we got in common with each other? I mean, we all come from different backgrounds. What have we got in common with the other? Well, let me take you, this is a passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he's a prisoner in Rome. He's under house arrest. He writes this prison epistle. One of them is to the Ephesians, a church he's familiar with. It's a long ways away in what's now Turkey. And he's talking about the gospel which originated in Israel. And he talks about what he has in common with his readers. What we have in common with each other. What ties us together. Let me read you verses 4 through 6. My text is verses 4 through 6, but let me set the stage. Here it is. Therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we go. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What in the world do we have in common? There are seven things in this passage of Scripture. Very briefly, here they are. Number one, there is one body. The people you looked at on that screen, we're all part of one body, the very same body, the body of Christ, the church of the living God. There is one church. Now, I know we got different denominational brands and we got different labels and we got different locations, but theologically, there is one universal church that all of us are a part of. The one church of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. We are a part of the same body of Christ as the people in India and Cambodia are. People in Maine are. People in Minnesota are. We're part of the same body of Christ. There is one body. That body started in Pentecost. It will exist through the rapture. It's above and beyond all man-made divisions. In spite of the differences of our race, our color, our nationality, our culture, our language, our personality, we all belong to one body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Barnes commentary says, Christ did not come to redeem and save different churches and give them a different place in heaven, even though we joke about that. You know, the Baptists are over here, they got a wall around them, nobody, they think they're the only ones there. The Presbyterians over here doing a committee. The Catholics are over there kneeling. No, they're standing. No, they're kneeling again. The Pentecostals, they're over there swinging from the chandeliers. No, we're all part of the same body in heaven. We all belong to the same body. Same heaven. He has come to collect into one community a multitude of every complexion from every land and unite them into one great brotherhood on earth and ultimately to assemble them in the same heaven. Ephesians 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We are the same church. The same church. So every believer in this room and every believer around the world is part of the same one body of the church. That's what we have in common. Praise the Lord. That's the first one. Second one. There is one Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. Every person who has claimed Jesus Christ their Savior, every person who has repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living in them. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. That same Holy Spirit indwells every believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19. That same Holy Spirit indwells every body of Christ corporately. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. That one Spirit can fill us. That one Spirit gives spiritual gifts. That one Spirit gives us the same fruit of the Spirit. And therefore, every believer in this room and every believer around the world has the same one Spirit living in them. You and I do. That's something else we have in common. Amen? The Holy Spirit is here. We are not by ourselves. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The passage goes on. Just as you are also called in one hope of your calling. That one hope, Ephesians 1:18, that one hope is this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That one hope is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's heaven. We have the same hope of heaven. We have one destiny. We get to be with Jesus. We get to be like him. We get to share in his glorious endlessly. We have one hope. We're all going to be in the same heaven. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. The Bible describes in Revelation, it describes what the new heaven and the new earth are going to be like. It's beyond our comprehension. To me, the greatest part about heaven is we're all going to get along together. I don't know how God's going to pull that off. We have a hard time here on earth. We got so much diversity, but in heaven, we'll have so much unity because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he comes or calls me home, I have one hope, you have one hope. The saints who have gone before us, they're in heaven enjoying it forever. We get to join them someday in one heaven together. So every believer in this room and around the world has the same one hope to look forward to be in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's something else we have in common. Amen? Next, the fourth one in verse 5, one Lord. There's a list of seven here. This is the exact center one. That's the one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The one Lord Jesus Christ, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one Savior, and there is only one way of salvation. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right in the middle of this list is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything centers on the Lord Jesus Christ. The body, the spirit, the hope of heaven, and the next three things we're going to look at as well. Right in the middle is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the center of our hope. Remember our goal that you guys put on your website, and we've been talking about the last few Sundays, is the goal of this church is to have Christ at the center of our lives, the center of our church. A lot of things can distract us. A lot of things can pull us away. We lead busy lives. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our one Savior. Jesus is the tie that binds us together. Jesus is the one who has redeemed us from our sins. We've been saved from ourselves. We've been saved from the devil. We've been saved from our sins. We have life everlasting because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So every believer in this room and around the world has the same one Lord who is our Savior, who has gone to the cross to forgive us of our sins. He rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. That's what we have in common. Praise the Lord. Amen to that. The list goes on. Paul's not done here. It's very possible that this list could have been a creed of the early church or a hymn that the early church sung. But the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration, puts it in the Scripture here, and we get this list of the unity that we have in Christ. Number 5 on this list is we have one faith. The one true Christian faith delivered to the saints in Jude chapter 3. It's preserved for us in the New Testament. There is one way of salvation, that's Christ alone. It's by faith alone, and it's through grace alone. We have sound doctrine. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. The Apostle Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he has for us." Just think about how much God loves you. "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." We have one faith. Again, centered in Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. Every believer in this room and around the world has the same one faith. We have one Christian faith centered on the person of Jesus Christ, revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Christ is on every book in the Old and New Testament. Christ permeates the Scriptures entirely. The Old Testament looked forward to his coming. The Gospels showed us of his coming. The epistles and the book of Acts and Revelation tell us of how we live because of his coming. One Christian faith. Every believer in this room has the same one faith. That's something else we have in common. Then we have one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's either the water baptism or spirit baptism. I believe it's the spirit baptism because 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit." The Holy Spirit has baptized us and placed us into the body of Christ. Now think about that for a moment. Whether Jews or Greeks. You know, back then, there's a huge division between the Jews and the Greeks. Neither liked the other. Their divisions was worse than our political divisions in our country today. And yet there is one Savior for both. And that Spirit, that same Spirit, places each of us, regardless of who we are, our background, our ethnicity, whatever, places us into the body of Christ. We can't put ourselves in the body of Christ. The Spirit places us in there because of our faith in what Christ has done. So every believer in this room has been baptized by the same one Spirit, placed in the same one body of Christ along with every other Christian around the world. That's what we have in common. And finally, number 7 in this list is verse 6. "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There's one God. Not many gods. There's pagans have many, many gods. You folks minister in the cultures. They have many, many gods. We have a lot of gods too. We don't call them idols. It's just things that we worship. We talked about this here last week. The things that give us, the things that we put above God are our idols. There is one supreme God, self-existent and eternal. I love the hymn. "Immortal, invisible, God only wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise." One God who is over all and through all and in all. He is the Father of all. He is the Creator. He's the God of Jews and Gentiles all at the same time. He's above all. He's supreme. He's sovereign of this universe. Everything is under his control. We live in a God-created, God-controlled, God-sustained, God-filled world. Nothing is ever by accident. Even politics is controlled by God. He is above all. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is through all. He acts and all things are according to his purposes. And he is in all. He indwells all believers in all places, everywhere at one and the same time. Now look through this passage and you see the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all at work in our life, all at work in our church, all at work around the world. We're not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. We're part of this great movement of God from the beginning of time to the end of time. We're part of this great movement of God. We are not alone. God is working in us. Romans 11:36, for it says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen and amen." So every believer in this room and around the world has the same one God and one Father. We are the same one family of God. So what do we have in common with you folks in India and Cambodia, or wherever our heritage is from, or whatever missionary families we hear about? We have great friends in Rwanda, Africa. We've had friends in other parts of the world. We got some friends in China. Wherever we are, we're part of the same body of Christ. We have the same Spirit working in us because we have the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been baptized with the same baptism. We have the same faith. We have the same God and Father. We have the same hope, hope of eternal life in heaven. So what in the world do we have in common? We got a whole lot. We got a whole lot. And we're blessed to be a part of your ministry. And we thank you so much for being a part of this ministry here today. And we look forward to continue supporting you guys and hearing about what's taking place with you around the world. We are grateful that God in His great mercy has chosen to redeem us. There's nothing great about any of us. We're all sinners. We need salvation. We need redemption. And God has richly provided that for us through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen? Let's stand. Pastor Brian's going to come up. We're going to sing a brief chorus. And we want us to just rejoice together that we can be unified, being diligent to preserve the unity and the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have more in common than what could ever divide us. So thank you very much for being a part of this and giving to the missionaries. And let's sing the closing song together, and then we'll be dismissed.
Okay, we're going to sing. Is it ready, Ethan? We're going to sing Bind Us Together. You know, we have a lot in common, as Pastor Phil just told us, so I thought it'd be a pretty fitting song. Let's sing it together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God. There is only one King. There is only one body. That is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Hey, have a wonderful day. If you get a chance, come say hi to Doug and Bethany, and remember to pray for them as they head back in November. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. thanks for singing. We'll get you up, Jackson. We'll get you playing up there. I missed you this time, but.